RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
Become a healthier you 5 days a week. This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
Well, with the Affordable Care Act comes an employer mandate. They have to cover you if you work at a certain job with a certain number of employees. But how many and when does this take effect? My guest today in this series on the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare is Marianne Eterno. She's president of Government Relations for Guaranty Trust Life Insurance. So, Marianne, let's talk about this employer mandate. What is it, first of all?
Well, Melanie, the employer mandate basically says employers in this country who have 50 or more full-time equivalent employees must offer affordable health insurance to their employees. And there's a couple of really key things in there. They don't have to give it to everybody. It doesn't have to be fully paid. They just have to make it available. It has to be affordable, which is a separate calculation. And they have to have at least 50 full-time equivalent employees. That means they could have 100 employees, but if all of them are part-time and none of them all together equal 50 full-timers, they don't have to provide insurance. It's a little strange the way the calculations are, but basically if you have more than 50 employees that are full-time, you have to offer them insurance. It starts January 1st, 2016.
That was going to be my next question, 2016, yep. And listener questions coming in. So how will the government know if an employer is obeying this law? I mean, is it something that employees, do you think, Marianne, are going to stand up and say, hey, you have to give me health insurance now?
Well, they might, and it's kind of funny because employees now, actually everybody has to report on their tax forms come tax time next year, whether they have insurance or not, and employers have to fill out a form and send it to the government now every year, letting the government know how many employees they have and what does the insurance look like that they provide and is it affordable. But the federal government isn't really going to know if all this is on the up and up unless one of the employees goes to buy insurance on the exchange instead of getting it through their employer and gets a subsidy. When that happens, if the government determines through questions that are asked in the normal course of things that they did have insurance available to them at their job, but it wasn't affordable for them, or there was no insurance available for them at all, then the federal government's going to go back to that employer and assess them a fine.
Wow. So it's going to trickle on down the line. Are employers unhappy about this, Marianne? Do you know, have you heard if there's a lot of uproar about this? Because to me, I love that I now have, you know, employee-covered insurance because my insurance was $2,500 a month. That was ridiculous.
Wow.
So I'm thrilled about this, thrilled. But are employers not so happy? Is this making it so that they don't want to keep full-time help?
Well, you know, people tend to forget that for a very, very long time, probably the last 60 years, most large employers have provided health insurance to their employees, and they weren't required to. So they're not unhappy now that they are required to because they were already doing it. That's how you attract good employees. What most employers are unhappy about is all the record-keeping and reporting requirements
paperwork
that go into this. Yes, it's a lot of time and paper that goes into proving that you're doing the right thing.
Can they be including part-time employees if they've got some that are just breaking the 25-hour a week or 30-hour a week minimum there for maximum for part-time? Can they be included in, or do those part-time employees then have to go through the exchanges?
It's totally up to the employer. For the purposes of Obamacare only, a full-time employee is defined as someone that works at least 30 hours a week. I know in our country, 40 hours is the standard for full-time, but just for this law, it's 30 hours a week. So if an employee works less than that, the employer is welcome to provide or offer coverage for them, but they're not required to. And one thing I should mention, the coverage that's required to be offered is for the employee and their dependents. So you have to offer coverage for the kids. However, a spouse is not considered a dependent under this law.
So it's not necessarily family insurance, but the dependents are included. So not
right.
Necessarily the spouse, but generally they seem to go along together. You know, usually it seems to me they're included. Now, here's a question from a listener. Some people, I've heard, they said some people are choosing to pay the individual mandate penalty rather than buy insurance. Could my employer choose to pay the penalty rather than provide insurance?
Sure, because the penalty is only $2,000 per employee minus the first 30 employees. So $2,000 per employee is generally going to be less expensive than the premiums for providing coverage. However, like I mentioned previously, most employers have been providing coverage for years. So I can't imagine that those that already do would want to accept upset their employees like that and risk losing a good workforce just to save a few dollars at the end.
If you have been one of those lucky few whose employers have been providing insurance, is anything going to change after this 2016 date? Is it going to, I mean, except for the paperwork for the employer?
You know, things might change because there's that affordability issue. Benefits might get better because there are more benefits that are required to be provided. However, copays and deductibles will probably go up because that premium needs to come down. The affordability issue is a calculation that says, is the insurance that the employer provides less than 9.5% of the employee's household income? So if it's more than that figure, which is a kind of a strange figure, then it's considered unaffordable. So employers have to bring the premium down, and by doing to do that, they bring the copays and deductibles up. So employees might end up with bigger out-of-pocket costs, better benefits, but more out-of-pocket at the end of the day.
What about the states that have opted out of the exchange? Are those employers, are they still mandated and share the responsibility with their employees? Do they still have to follow this law?
Yes, everybody does. This has nothing to do with what kind of exchange your state has.
Wow, so that's very interesting. And then is it up to the employer to be looking for the insurance? Are they going through the federal government or their state government to find the insurance, or are they just going directly to Blue Cross or Humana or somebody and getting insurance?
There is no exchange for a large employer, so they can't go to the government or to the state. They're going to have to use benefit specialists or agents that would help them navigate the Blue Crosses and the United Healthcares and the plans for employers. Unless you're a small employer, if you're a small employer of 49 employees or less, you have no obligation to provide insurance. You have no penalty if you don't, but there is, in some states, a small employer exchange for you to use. It's not available everywhere, but it is available in some states.
Wow, Marianne, you are just absolutely brilliant, and this one went really, really fast. So we just have a minute left. The last question, how does the employer know whether the coverage is affordable? You use that
really
word.
That's a really good question. That's a really good question because it says household income, and originally the government was going to ask employers to aggregate all kinds of financial information from their employees, including what their spouse might make, any other sorts of outside income. It would have been very intrusive. So after a lot of lobbying at the federal government, the IRS came out with guidance that says they can use the employer's, the wage that the employer pays the employee, and consider that the household income, whether anybody else in the household works or not. So whatever the employer pays that employee, that's considered their income. If the insurance for them is cost less than 9.5% of that income, it's considered affordable.
Wow, it is such great information, listeners. I'd like to urge you to keep those emails coming in because we're going to be meeting with Marianne on a regular basis because this is ongoing, confusing, and she has absolutely all the answers. So if you have any questions, you can send them to melanie@radiomd.com. We'll get them, we'll put them together, and we'll ask Marianne the next time she's on. So listen again if you missed any of that great information at radiomd.com. This is Melanie Cole. More great show coming up. Stay well and stay tuned.